welcome to this week's episode of Around the World in 70 Days on CJMQ 88.9 FM, where I discuss important current events and their relationship to our local community. I'm your host, Rhiannon, and I've selected several major current events, and I'll be discussing their connection and importance to the Eastern Townships. Let's get right into it. Today, I'd like to talk about some updates on the crisis in Ukraine, but really focus on how our local community can help. I'll discuss some national and local actions that have been taken to support Ukrainians and some things to think about when donating to Ukraine. I've gathered some updates on the situation in order to better understand the humanitarian efforts to support Ukraine. The Canadian government is fast-tracking immigration for an unlimited number of Ukrainian refugees. According to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, more than 2.1 million people have fled the war in Ukraine so far. After Russia invaded last month, Ukraine's president put out a worldwide call for volunteers to join his country's defense. He created an International Defense Legion, opened up the borders to visa-free entry, and set up an application process at embassies, and launched a website. The Ukrainian foreign minister tweeted that anyone interested in volunteering should contact Ukraine's embassies and consulates in their home countries. Ukraine's embassy is warning Canadians who want to fight Russia's invasion of the dangerous situation on the ground, even as it reaches out to applicants with medical or military experience. The embassy said in a statement, "Given hundreds of wounded civilians at the cities besieged by Russian invaders and continuous shelling and bombing of residential areas by Russian jets and artillery, international volunteers with medical and appropriate military records can be the most effective for evacuation of elderly people, women, and children." The Russian Foreign Ministry announced that it has added Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly, and Defense Minister Anita Anand to what it calls its blacklist, banning them from entering Russia. The other federal party leaders, Interim Conservative Leader Candace Bergen, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh, Bloc Québécois leader Yves-François Blanchet, and Green Party parliamentarian leader Elizabeth May have been told that they can't set foot on Russian soil. The president of the Ukrainian Canadian Congress has also been put on Russia's blacklist. Zelensky, who has made repeated pleas to the West for more help in Ukraine's fight against Russian forces, on Tuesday spoke to Canadian MPs and said, quote, "Every night is a horrible night. Kyiv is being shelled and bombed, while people in Mariupol live without heat and water and face increasingly dire shortages. Canada has always been steadfast in their support, but," he said, "much more needs to be done as Ukraine fights against Russia's invasion." He called for more sanctions and a no-fly zone. The Red Cross and the United Nations Refugee Agency say millions of people face food and medicine shortages, along with the immediate conflict threats of shelling and air attacks, with millions displaced within the country. I have also gathered several examples of how Canadians are helping across the nation. During his visit to Poland, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced the federal government would be matching Canadians' donations to the Red Cross in aid of Ukraine up to a maximum of $30 million. This is an increase from the $10 million amount Trudeau announced last month. According to the Canadian Red Cross, the Government of Canada match. In February, the government of the Northwest Territories agreed to match residents' donations to the Canadian Red Cross in support of humanitarian efforts for Ukraine, up to a total of $50,000. When announcing this, Premier Carolyn Cochran said, quote, "I will commit to personally donating $500 towards the campaign, and I challenge every member in this House to donate $500 to the campaign." Members of the Ukrainian community in Deep, New Brunswick, made traditional pierogies to raise funds for humanitarian relief on March 10th. Volunteers at the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary Ukrainian Catholic Parish in Calgary also made pierogies to raise donations to help their loved ones in Ukraine on March 5th. Volunteers at the Niverville Community Resource and Recreation Center in Manitoba made and sold pierogies and collected donations and goods to support Ukrainian refugees in Poland, particularly women, girls, LGBTQ+, and other minority groups at risk. Members of the Ukrainian Senior Center in Sudbury, Ontario, are making pierogies and cabbage rolls during the entirety of the month of March to support humanitarian efforts in Ukraine. Cabbage rolls were also prepared at the Victorian Ukrainian Cultural Center for a monthly food sale on February 24th. A pasta fundraising event at the Dom Polski Hall in Windsor, Ontario, raised more than $15,000 on March 5th for a village in Poland taking in refugees. Father Roman Saplane, the parish priest at the Holy Trinity Ukrainian Orthodox Cathedral, held a service in support of Ukraine in Vancouver on March 1st. A specialty service was conducted March 5th at the Ukrainian National Federation in Regina, with many items donated as part of humanitarian aid and support for Ukraine. Volunteers sorted donated items at the Ukrainian Orthodox Cathedral in Ottawa as the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress collected items for humanitarian aid packages to send to Ukraine on March 5th. PEI firefighter Corey McCausland is collecting equipment for departments in Ukraine, notably fire helmets, oxygen tanks, boots, and gloves. A member of the Canadian Bomberos, he collects equipment to donate to firefighters throughout Central and South America, but is now focusing on aiding Ukrainian firefighters in the ongoing crisis. He is also actively collecting medical and children's supplies for a children's hospital in Lviv. Academics at the University of Alberta with the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies recently organized an initiative offering free, secure cloud storage to archivists, librarians, scientists, and other institutions in Ukraine. The director said the Ukraine Archives Rescue Team came as a result of brainstorming on how to assist colleagues in these areas. The digital storage is available to scholars and institutions of all disciplines, although the director said there is an important cultural dimension to the initiative. The Ottawa branch of the Ukrainian Women's Association of Canada is hosting Psanki, Ukrainian Easter eggs, making workshops for both adults and children, and this year all proceeds will go towards humanitarian relief efforts in Ukraine during the Russian invasion. The workshops are currently going on and will run until mid-April, the weeks leading up to Easter. People can also pick up do-it-yourself Psanka making kits. Ottawa children raised over $6,000 for the Red Cross to aid Ukraine by selling pins with the Ukrainian flag. This was noticed by the ambassador to Canada for Lithuania. He invited the family to attend an event at the embassy, one celebrating his country's independence, and to bring their pins with them to sell there as well. Plast Ottawa, a Ukrainian youth organization, was chosen to sing the Ukrainian national anthem before an Ottawa Senators game on March 10th. I've also collected a few examples of donations and events going towards the humanitarian effort in our province specifically. Donations were collected and organized inside the Ukrainian Orthodox of Sainte Marie la Protectrice in Montreal on March 10th. Across the street from Montreal's Russian consulate, Ukrainian flags fly proudly from a resident's windows. City Councilor Serge Sasseville said on Twitter that he installed them to demonstrate support for Ukraine and denounce Vladimir Putin's war. He also encouraged other Montrealers to display Ukraine's flag. The snow outside of the Russian consulate in Montreal was also dyed blood red in protest of the invasion. The Quebec English School Boards Association released a statement saying it hopes Ukrainian children who are familiar with English will be permitted to attend English schools as an exemption to Quebec's language laws for humanitarian purposes. Russell Copeman, the executive director, said, quote, "The general rule is people who arrive in Quebec from outside Canada must attend French school, and that's something that has existed for many years. In the Charter of the French Language, from the very beginning, there has been this notion of receiving an exemption to that general rule for humanitarian reasons." Quebec has announced it will give $300,000 to organizations Médecins du Monde Canada and the Quebec Division of the Canadian Red Cross. The financial aid is added to Quebec's other efforts to show solidarity for Ukraine, including the removal of Russian products at the SAQ and the addition of the Ukrainian flag at the National Assembly. The City of Laval also announced plans to give $20,000 to the Canadian Red Cross in support of Ukraine. Laval's mayor said, "Laval's Ukrainian community, with its some 2,300 members, is a source of wealth for our city, and we are aware of the concerns that our citizens no doubt have for their country of origin. It is a solidarity that we owe them." Laval hopes to accept up to 2,000 refugees. There are also several things that our local community has done. The Gate at Bishop's University held a Ukraine night in order to support the ongoing crisis. Coat check alone raised around $700 for the cause. As well, a crowd gathered in front of Sherbrooke's City Hall on Wednesday evening to share their concerns about the Russian invasion of Ukraine and to express solidarity with the Ukrainians. The event was attended by members of the local Ukrainian community as well as concerned citizens. Before I go, I want to talk about things to think about when donating to support Ukraine and really how to support in the best way possible. I've researched some of the better ways to donate and the better ways to give back, and they are as follows. A charity researcher is warning potential donors that giving to help the growing humanitarian crisis created by Russia's invasion of Ukraine is unlike donating during a crisis created by a natural disaster. The difference is that it's not safe for most aid groups to go into the country. When a natural emergency happens, it is usually relatively safe to go into the aftermath to help. But the war in Ukraine is an ongoing situation, and it's still not safe for aid workers to go and respond. While it's getting more difficult to get money into Ukraine, there are still organizations on the ground in the country that need support. One of them is the Ukrainian Red Cross. Giving money to the Canadian Red Cross may not have an as immediate response or impact as donating directly to the Ukrainian National Red Cross. However, since the Ukrainian Red Cross is not a registered charity in Canada, donations aren't eligible for tax deductions, but those donations will be used inside Ukraine. Another option for people is to give to Doctors Without Borders, which still operates in Ukraine. Another thing I want to mention is that giving food, clothing, or other physical goods isn't as helpful as we might think. While these donations are made with the best intentions, they won't help relief efforts. Sending goods to the region can cause logistical problems due to the trouble to get goods through borders, the cost of transportation, and the closure of shipping ports in the area. The ports are closing, and the highways too, and getting trucks or air shipments into Ukraine is just not possible at this time. Most supplies aren't likely to make it into the region and may end up in landfills. and people may be better off donating money directly to charities instead. As such, there are several charities and other ways to help suggested by Charity Intelligence Canada, an organization focused on researching what charities do with their donations and keeping charities accountable. They mention three tips for donating. The first is using secure websites to make credit card transactions. CBC has reported fundraising scams or war profiteering from the Ukrainian war. The second tip is to make larger one-time donations to get aid there faster, rather than smaller monthly donations. And finally, the third tip is to donate cash, not items. Like I said, logistics are challenging in Ukraine. Many of these supplies will likely not make it to the region or end up in landfills. Without humanitarian corridors or a ceasefire, getting aid into Ukraine is nearly impossible, as ports are blockaded and roads are bombed. It's not safe for humanitarian aid staff to deploy and enter the country. Charity Intelligence Canada also suggests several charities to choose from, the first being the Canada-Ukraine Foundation Appeal. In a CBC Toronto Metro Morning interview, it provided clear facts. It isn't possible to send containers and shipments into Ukraine. The charity is raising donations to buy food and blankets inside Kyiv to distribute. A donation today will be distributed in 7 days. The Canada-Ukraine Foundation has funding reserves of $1.6 million and hopes to raise $5 million, with $4 million raised to date. The CIC also suggests Doctors Without Borders. It's often a go-to pick with the best track record in speed, effectiveness, and reporting. As of March 3rd, their operations are based out of the relatively calm city of Lviv in western Ukraine. It's coordinating with Ukrainian hospitals to assess their needs, restock medical supplies, especially surgical supplies, to deal with mass casualties that are running low, and supplies are being trucked in. The CIC also suggests the Canadian Red Cross. Donations now surpass $56 million, including the Government of Canada's match of $30 million to Ukraine's appeal. Historically in wars, Red Cross supports prisoners of war, ensuring international codes of conduct, providing letters and food parcels. You can also donate directly to the Ukrainian Red Cross. Its donations are processed by Swiss Red Cross. Inside Ukraine, Ukrainian Red Cross is mobilizing volunteers and resources, collecting blood, and helping those affected by the conflict. The Ukrainian Red Cross will visit detention centers to ensure prisoners of war have adequate food and hygiene. The International Committee of Red Cross is also supporting the Ukrainian Red Cross with medicine and equipment, food and hygiene items for families. And since Ukrainian refugees are flooding into Poland and Romania, the Polish Red Cross and Romanian Red Cross will likely be the frontline responders as well. Each Red Cross is an independent organization, and donations are not necessarily shared between them, which is important to know. There are other several non-charity options to support Ukraine. People can send money directly to the Ukrainian government through the National Bank of Ukraine. Canadian banks have waived all wire transfer fees on this support. Another way to help is to read the Kyiv Independent, a local English newspaper that is also accessible online. There has also been a widespread initiative to book Ukrainian Airbnbs in order to give money directly to Ukrainians and set up places for refugees and displaced people to stay. While it is best to send money directly, I advise Canadians to be wary of fake accounts and hosts, as war profiteering has transferred over into this area as well. And that's all I have for you today. I want to leave you with these topics to think about and to let you decide what the best way to support is for you. I hope you take into consideration some of the advice I've given and support where and when you can. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Rhiannon with CJMQ 88.9 FM, and I'll talk with you next week.